Welcome to another episode of Reality Check. My name is Dan Hartwig. You know Jay Richardson and the Sierra Hartwig. On today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about Sierra's quest for going after Miss Olympia and Miss Ohio and the battle that she is facing right now mentally, for sure, because I think that we all got to hear from that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about why is there shit on the stairs in Suburban Dad. We're going to talk about that
shitty
one a little
stairs.
Bit. And then we're going to talk about the reality of pressure, because this is Reality Check. Let's get to it.
I'm excited about this episode.
Let's go.
I'm happy to be here.
I'm excited. And I'm excited for the little change up we're going. So if you're familiar with the show, we always start out with a mental health tip or something regarding mental health. For starters, I just kind of wanted to share a personal thing that happened to me today, kind of like a realization. Today, I woke up and I realized or thought to myself, is competing really worth it? It's the first time in like 7 years I've ever struggled, I guess. And I don't want to say it's like easy, but for me, it's just something that comes naturally because I've always been athletic, but I hit a point today where I was like, is it worth it? You know, should I just...
What am I even doing?
Should I just go pound a few hamburgers? Like, and then I really took a second and kind of dug deep in, like, why am I having these feelings? I've never had them before. And I came to the realization, I just must be to that point where I know that I've really given it my all. Mm-hmm. And I've just never really given it 1,000%, you know, to make me be able to feel this way. So I guess being able to kind of talk myself through it was really a good motivator for me, really, because now I'm like extra pumped up. You know, I got like a week and a half left and I just have a completely different mindset on it. Have you guys ever, we'll start with you, Jay, had like a time where you're like, man, I've really given it my all, like, this is not for me, and kind of been able to mentally walk yourself through it and take yourself back?
Oh, without a doubt. And I think what you're having is almost like a love check. Like, how much do I really love this? Like, is this really what I want to do? And I have had a couple of those in specifically my football career, one at Ohio State. And as Dan knows, like, I was not, wasn't a kid that grew up watching sports or grew up playing football. Really wasn't my thing, honestly. I didn't
That's
even
so
get into it. Right?
It
always
you.
People always
you
look at
like
me
you
like
were
that.
Like birthed an athlete.
Listen, I was born in DC. I grew up overseas a lot and lived in Korea and Japan and Guam, and first sport I ever played was soccer, which I loved, and that was cool, but I was more of like a nerdy artsy kid. Like, I literally went to art school as a kid and could draw and do all that stuff, but I wasn't this whole like football thing and sport. I didn't have posters of athletes on my walls and all that stuff. Like, that was not my upbringing necessarily. I just happened to like look like this, but it was not, you know what I mean? This wasn't whatever. So I get to Ohio State. I'm still fairly new to football, bro. Like, I don't really, I've been playing for 4 years, but it's high school football. I was the biggest, blackest thing on the field and I was just knocking kids over.
Craziest thing in the world. You've been playing for 4 years and now you find yourself at the Ohio State playing football before you go pro. So yeah. that sets the whole, let's think about this for a moment.
Listen, you know, genetics are a thing, and they give you an advantage in certain spaces.
4 years of playing football.
So
that's pretty insane.
I was able to kind of pick up on the concepts a little bit, but...
What is this ball?
Yeah, right? Like, there's so many levels to football. So then you get into, like, I remember my freshman year, I get into the freshman training camp, and there's all these guys, Maurice Claret, A.J. Hawk, Bobby, all these guys, you know, Santonio Holmes, these guys that are really good, been playing football a long time. They understand it really well.
Right.
Maurice knew football, like at a whole different level.
Intelligent.
And I'm just like, I know where to line up. I know I got to trace that guy right there. Let's
basic
go do
concept.
It. So the point of this whole deal is, like, you know, I'm now 2 years into my collegiate career. Yes, I've learned a lot. I'm a lot more comfortable with the game, but I'm still feeling mentally so far behind, and I'm not cracking the depth chart where I want to be. Like, I'm not getting opportunities like I feel like I should. I feel like I have a lot of good ability. I can do some of the things other guys, you know, can do and some can't. And I'm like, I'm not getting the crack at it. And I remember going to Coach Tressel, and I had a moment that, you know, kind of like you're discussing where I was like, yo, I don't know that this is for me. Like, I truly don't know. At some point, I was thinking, like, do I even want to play football? But I knew at that point in my head, like, do I want to play here at Ohio State? Like, maybe I should have gone to, like, a school where I could just go in and play a whole lot and, like, be the man. Because here, man, like, everyone's good. Everyone knows football way better than me. And I went to him and I said, look, you know, I don't know that, like, I want to be here anymore. Like, I'm doing everything I can. And I'm just not really. And he literally stopped me in my tracks. And he was like, Jay, do you, like, have any concept of like, where you're at in your football journey? And he was like, essentially for you, this is, like, year six. He's like, you know, these guys have been doing this since they were kids. He was like, take a deep breath. He was like, do you realize if 3 years from now you're not in the NFL, that's your fault? It ain't going to be because you weren't good enough or because you don't have the ability. It'll be because you lack focus, because you didn't really want to. And you got to really decide what kind of work ethic you want to have at this level. And I remember thinking, like, I didn't even understand what a work ethic was. I just kept doing what everyone else was doing. And he explained to me just the process of how you improve your work ethic, of how you set goals. And we literally filled out, like, a 5-page goal sheet.
Yeah.
Where I was able to just go, okay, here's what I want. Here's what I want to do. Here's how I think I can do it. And he kind of laid out this blueprint, lay out the blueprint. And then it was like, all right, now I have mental checkpoints.
Yeah.
And now I have kind of like a roadmap. And it helped me out immensely. And hearing him say out of his mouth, like, you're going to be good. Like, you have to just stick with this. It was like a huge boost of confidence for me. So sometimes you just need, like, that infusion of confidence and reminder of, like, where you're at in your journey, and not to stop because you're finding out how much you really love something. And I didn't start loving football until after that.
100%. 100%.
How about you, Dan?
Well, you know, going back to, you know, I think one of the things that is so interesting about, you know, when you were pregnant with Roman, you had said something to me when we were, I forget where we were driving to, but you were like, man, I don't think you realize what you said, but you said, man, like, the more pain, like, I'm feeling, like, the closer that I know we are. And, like, that is, like, such, like, a whoa. I mean, because how many times do we get to a point where, like, our breaking point could be our birthing point? It could be the point in time in which, right when we're at the peak, where we're like, man, I'm thinking about, like, quitting. I'm thinking about stopping. I'm thinking about giving up. If you can break through that wall, you prove a level of strength that on the opposite side of it is exactly what you need anyhow. So it's like, don't give up. Push through. Because that right there, like, you have to recognize those moments I've found in life where you're at the point of breaking. That if you recognize them for what they are, not to harm you, but to make you, on the other opposite side of it is exactly what you need.
Yeah, well,
yo, that's
said.
Deep. That's,
that was really deep.
That's, like, deeply philosophical and super spot on. Like, the, like, your breaking point is, like, really your breakthrough point. But, like, you have to push through that, and then you, like, you know you're arriving where you need to be.
100.
And with that being said, that kind of leads us into the next thing, our SDS. Our SDS segment, where we are always talking typically with Reese and Dan about their journey being suburban dads. Today, Jay's filling in, so maybe we're going to freak him out a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and share on behalf of Maurice, because I talked to Miss Ashley. So as far as what would be on his list, we were actually comparing as moms. We kind of go back and forth on what the dogs, what our babies are doing. And she had told me that this is her direct text. I was basically saying that there was peanut butter on our couch. She said, better than poop on the steps. I changed Titan last night, went to wash my hands. And when I came out of the bathroom, he threw the diaper down the stairs and one of the flaps popped open. Poop everywhere. Oh. Now, I can't wait for Maurice to watch this back to see and kind of give his intake on it. But, I mean, it sounded like a crappy day to me.
It's a very crappy day for sure.
Stuff like this just reminds me of why I'm so happy to be kid-free.
You're going to probably have 5.
Listen, and at that point, I will know to tie the diapers up tighter.
Yeah.
And I like, this gives me a little insight into how I want to make sure you know, either I'm going to put plastic on the stairs or we're going to have to wrap these diapers up.
Oh, so
But
stinky.
We will not have shitty stairs.
Yeah. Anything from you this week?
Man, you know, the other day we were sitting out, I was sitting outside and all of a sudden, you know, I see Maurice, he's going for his jog or whatever. And I look and all of a sudden I see him like underneath one of our trees in our front yard. And Maurice. I'm like, what is he doing? And he's on a conference call, but he's like hugging the tree. And I look and I'm like, oh man, there's a dog that is coming near him. It was the neighbor's dog. Right. And I get up and I get on the other opposite side of the fence and I'm laughing hysterically.
Please tell me like, it was a Yorkie.
Nah, listen, it was like a black lab.
No, it was
and
a
I told Maurice.
Cup Yorkie.
I don't care if it's a pit bull.
He's
a grown man.
Well, I told Maurice, I said, don't worry. Like, let me get the dog or whatever. He goes, you know that black people do not mess with dogs that are not theirs. And listen, so this guy, not only do I get the dog back. But he says at that point in time, all right, that's a wrap for the workout, and walks to the front step and just walks through the backyard. He's like, I'm done for the workout. We're done.
So listen, let me just, for everybody at home, this is, and I could get into the deep cultural history behind black folks and dogs that dates back to like the civil rights era and all of that stuff. But we're going to, because it's 2021. And we should have gotten over our cultural fear of dogs because it has been passed down from generation to generation. The bottom line is this. Reese is like a 250-something pound grown man, you know, still strong as an ox. There is nothing about a suburban black Labrador retriever that should have him ready. A suburban. This is not a domesticated. This is not a black lab in the wild. Okay, this black lab eats.
Came from Home Goods. Like,
this black lab probably eats stuff from Whole Foods. Like, I know what neighborhood we are. I know where we at. Okay, this is a non-GMO eating, fully organic food processed, no, nothing
massages.
Processed eating. Yeah, this black lab.
They do give dog massages.
This black lab is well taken care of. I know it was just fresh from the groomer with all its shots, and this man's ready to climb a tree in his neighbor's backyard. Reese, that says a lot about your situational awareness, brother. Ain't no black lab doing nothing to you out here in the suburbs, fam.
For the Well, we're just gonna have to work on strengthening his mindset. But moving into our health tip of the week, we actually briefly talked about this before we began.
Yeah.
And the tip today I wanted to share was the benefits of cinnamon. I know I asked you guys if you knew that cinnamon helped reduce or lower blood sugar as well as blood pressure. And of course, Jay said, yes.
I've been putting sugar in cinnamon in my coffee every morning for like 4 or 5 years.
Cinnamon in coffee is good.
I've been knowing
cinnamon on
stuff.
Toast.
Yeah.
Butter. Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, a little bit of sugar.
Cinnamon toast crunch.
Yeah.
And then I skipped into it and asked him if he knew why.
No, I don't know tastes why. Good. I read it somewhere and it tastes good. So I'm rocking with it.
Well, cinnamon actually helps break down the carbs in your digestive tract. Mm. So that's what helps it slow down and lower the blood pressure and your blood sugar just because of the rate that it's moving through your system.
How much cinnamon should somebody have in a day?
Well, you can actually get too much cinnamon and it can mess with your GI and your liver. But I mean, it's very, very difficult to do that. Cinnamon in your coffee.
No. I've seen it happen before. Remember a few years back, it was like a viral thing going around, the cinnamon challenge where people were trying to like,
no.
Have a whole cup full of cinnamon at one time and eat it, and they almost like choked.
So don't.
I did not hear that.
Don't take cinnamon dry. You got to mix it in with something. Is that what you're saying?
You can have too much.
Okay,
at one
I definitely
time.
Didn't hear about a cinnamon challenge, but cinnamon in your coffee, like Jay, that is more than sufficient.
And so, if someone puts cinnamon in their coffee,
they're fine,
and they are going to lower
their blood
their
sugar,
blood sugar, and blood pressure.
Blood
what
sugar,
is it? A1C3? I don't know how it works.
And yeah, it's also really good on green beans. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I would have never.
And now.
Is that like putting raisins in potato salad?
Ew.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Good. I'm just making
Moving
sure.
Moving on to the champ of the week. It's a surprise.
It is.
We are blindsided, but uh-oh. I'm sure Dan's been prepared for this for 5 weeks.
No, I just found this morning. Okay, a guy by the name of Daniel Scally. which is the best part. It says, who has chronic pain, by the way?
That's a crazy story.
Set a world record for planking. How long do you think he did planking?
Remember when I did that plank challenge and won?
Yep.
How long did you do it for?
It was only 5 minutes.
Okay, how long do you think a world record is for planking?
I would say an hour.
Okay, you ready?
Here's what I'm saying.
Okay. He broke the world record with a time of 9 hours and 30 minutes.
I think I might be able to come close.
He held a plank for half a damn day.
Half a day.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you guys gave me something to watch, I bet you I could do it.
Well, listen. So here's the best part.
I don't even know.
My abs would be so shredded.
He is shredded. But here's what's interesting about this is that he threw up 4 times during the challenge. And I'm just kind of curious. So you throw up 4 times during the challenge and you don't move the entire time?
You don't break down during a vomit?
Yeah, I have to see the criteria on that because
So here's
I gotta see the footage.
I could sleep in that position.
So he started training for this thing in January, okay? And he had a full-time job and everything like that.
Does it show a picture of his...
When he lost his job over this?
No.
You said he had a full-time
job. But what he did after work is he planked from 5:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m.
The fuck?
And it says, despite receiving little support from endurance coaches and athletes, he reached out for help. He equaled and then that beat the world record time in a space of 4 months. So it took him 4 months to basically get to a point.
Did he win?
He won a record. That's basically
what
he
was.
You don't get paid?
No. I don't know. First of all,
when he said despite little support, what's somebody supposed to support? How am I supposed to support you? Hey, bro, hang in there. You crazy as shit, but keep going.
But listen, 9 hours, 30 minutes for planking. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm probably a minute and I'm shaking like crazy. 9 hours, 30 minutes, threw up 4 times, trained for it for over 4 months, and now he's abs of steel. He gets out of work, and there's nothing more than I would probably want to do once you get done working than to go home and plank for, I don't know,
Day of work. How about we spend the evening planking?
Let's do it.
Not watching the game.
I would do it pre-work, not post-work.
There's no way this guy has a girlfriend.
Maybe that's the lack of support he had.
Right? That's what he really needs.
That's impressive, though. I'm gonna give him the champion of the week because regardless, right? I give you mad props for 9 hours, 30 minutes. You broke a record. You're the champion of the week. Congrats.
Good job.
Well, to finalize things, who wants to hype up our audience with some motivation to finish out their week?
Man, I think before we even just hype them up, I think we just got to talk about Pressure. Jay,
pressure.
I know you had, I know that you, last week, you had one of those weeks, so it was a little bit of pressure.
Pressure.
Right? You got on ESPN, though, right?
I did.
So, man, that's...
He didn't like your microphone placement.
He didn't like my microphone placement.
Maury's always got something funny to say. That's the best part.
I was so pumped for you. Kudos.
Thank you. Listen, motivation and pressure, I think they're tied hand in hand for me. It was a stressful 10 days leading up to that. Actually, a lot was going on in my world. And a lot you guys are going to find out when you watch Reality Check and some of the things we're doing over the next few weeks. But just to kind of speed things up, I knew at the end of the week I had opportunity to do something that I've always kind of wanted to do, which was play-by-play announcing. And I had a chance to do it, to me, on one of the biggest platforms you can, which is ESPN.
Right.
I was explaining to them off camera, the thing about pressure for some people, people feel that pressure and they crumble. For others, you feel that pressure and it's a focusing thing.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, feeling pressure ratchets up the intensity of your mind and how you focus. So for me, and it's no different than the idea of I got a paper due tomorrow in class I haven't even started. And I got 12 hours to crank out 20 pages or something. And you just get to a place where you lock in and you just do really good work.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like that, for an entire week, every single hour I was I gotta be on, I gotta be prepared. I gotta take care of this. I gotta take care of this. I gotta take notes. My notes for the game were impeccable.
So there's something right there. The tie-in between the correlation between preparation and pressure.
Yeah.
So here's where I would go with this is that Sun Tzu, Art of War. You ever read that book?
Absolutely.
Okay. So he says, victorious warriors win first and then go to war.
Yes.
While defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. And so that whole entire concept of preparation and pressure applies this way. If you are not prepared, what ends up happening is that you end up applying pressure
to yourself in a way that ends up being negative.
Detrimental.
Lack of preparation applies pressure to other people with how we talk to them, with how we treat them. And that's not their fault, right? Like the people that you speak to, it's your lack of preparation that ends up putting pressure on yourself, which is not fair to other people, right? For the pressure that you're putting on them.
Without a doubt.
When you're prepared, the pressure that you can apply is now on offense. So it's like the ability for you to use pressure in a way that allows you to be more on the offense than on the defense is what allows you to be able to be a professional, get on ESPN, and being able to do what you've dreamed of your entire life. So 10 days, constantly preparing, constantly trying to find a way to apply the right kind of pressure.
Yep.
That's the key. Everybody's got pressure.
But you just said it perfect, though, right? Like the right kind of pressure.
The right kind of pressure.
Preparation can lead to the right kind of pressure, which leads to production. And I think it ended up being a fantastic show we had. It's a different world to be locked in for 3 solid hours kind of narrating a football game. That was a lot of fun. And it's live, so, you know, you can't screw up.
Right.
But there was no pressure in it. Why? Because of what you said.
Prepared.
Preparation, baby.
They say pressure busts pipes or makes diamonds.
Absolutely. Preparation.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for joining us on another episode of Reality Check. We want to give an extra special thanks to Jay for stepping in and joining us today.
You did all right.
I know I was better than Maurice. I know I was better than him.
Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, shoot us any messages on any topics you'd like us to cover, and we will see you next time.
Peace.